we now continue with the next evening, the 22nd of March 1980 at the Big Tent, and it's a children's evening, and it's a storified version, specially worked out for children, and the title of the message by Mr. Peter Branton is What is Christianity All About? We trust as you continue to listen, you will hear God speak to you, even as he speaks to little children.
Now, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this. It's lovely to have the boys and girls with us. You know, I heard a wonderful story the other day. One of the teachers in London was trying to show to the boys and girls some of the facts of the body, and she was going over them very carefully like this. God has given us a brain to think with, eyes to see with, lips to speak with, hands to serve with, a heart to love with, and feet to run with. And one little boy right in the front, only 7, he was crying bitterly. So the teacher stopped and said, What's wrong with you, Billy? He says, God's made me all wrong. So she said, Why? Well, he says, It's my nose that runs and my feet that smell. I thought that was lovely when I heard that from a teacher. Now, I'm not going to speak for too long, because with boys and girls here, that would be foolish. I'm going to storify the gospel that I'm going to preach. I'm going to watch the boys and girls carefully as I preach, and this is what I'm going to do. If you wriggle, children, not the adults, if you wriggle, you're known as a worm, right? And you lose 1 point. If you talk, you're known as a monkey, and you lose 2 points. If you irritate someone else, that's called being an alligator, and you lose 3 points. If you all sit up and watch me and listen, you're known as a human being or a Homo sapiens, and you get 2 points. And what I shall do at the end, I've got a little piece of paper here. I shall take some notes, and I give a shield to the best group of boys and girls that I go to over a period of 1 year. Now, this shield has been to London. It's been to Liverpool. I think it went to one place outside of Britain. Wouldn't it be great if it came to Brisbane in Australia? Now, I'm going to really watch you tonight. And when I clap my hand, the competition's on. And even if you have to breathe, try and breathe very gently, won't you? And try not even to blink. All right, one clap and the competition's on. All ready? I'm going to read from the 2nd of Corinthians, chapter 4. 2nd of Corinthians, chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants or slaves for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now my text for tonight, I'm going to quote it 3 times, and right at the end I might ask the children if they can remember it. And it's this: The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now this time I'm going to say the scripture in a different way. And you've got to watch all the movements of my hands. And as you watch the movements of my hands, you will know what I'm thinking about by the movements that I make with my hands. You watch. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now I'm going to say it like this in a different way. You listen. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Many years ago, a group of miners left their home, and little did they realize the trouble that was going to face them. They got up early in the morning, they washed, they went down to the breakfast table, but they didn't realize that that morning there was going to be a tragedy, otherwise they would not have left home. They said goodbye to their wives, and the children got up to say goodbye to their respective fathers. And then they caught the bus that took them to their mine. And when they got to the mine, they were all joking and talking about the things that happened over the weekend. And they changed their clothing. And then they got into a special train that hurried them right down to the bowels of the earth. And there they were, these miners, digging for iron ore. When suddenly, they heard a violent earthquake. They heard a tremendous explosion that shook the whole of the mine. And then they heard the pit alarm system going off, and they knew it wasn't a practice, it was a real thing. And then they looked underneath their feet, and they could see bubbles of water appearing. You see, the streams that were underneath them had all been disrupted, and they were coming through the mine. One man who knew the geography of the mine ever so well, who was a foreman, he said to these men, realizing the tragedy that had happened, "Men, follow me." And as they were following this particular man, those little bubbles of water turned into little streams, from streams into a torrent, from a torrent into a river of death. And before long, the water was up to their knees, and then up to their thighs, then up to their chests. And it was almost covering some when they came to a rock that was elevated. Do you know what I mean by that? Raised above the mine. And they scrambled on this rock, 40 men. And then they watched the waters. And they were climbing dangerously up and up and up. And the men were saying, "I wonder if they're going to reach the ledge and we shall be drowned." And when they got to the ledge of the ledge of the rock upon which they were sheltering, suddenly the water stopped. And here were 40 men, away from their friends and loved ones, away from the light, in the darkness of that mine, trapped. If you can, boys and girls and ladies and gentlemen, I want you to put yourself in that situation. They were there for 24 hours wondering what to do when all the lights on their helmets went out. And here were 40 men trapped in the darkness. They couldn't even see the hand in front of them. They couldn't see a thing. And of course, they could use no matches in a mine, and if they did, they would all be damned. What could they do? They were helpless. Now, that is a picture of men and women before God. Watch my hand. When God made man, man and God were friends together, and they were joined in love. And man knew God, and God knew man, and they were so close that they could talk together and communicate together. And it was the will of God that man might do the will of God upon earth for him. And day by day, man and God had this sweet friendship and communion together. But there came a tragedy. When the first man that God made in his image and in his likeness said something like this, "I'm not going to allow God to regulate and rule my life. I want my own way. I want to do my own thing. I want to be the master of my life." A man took of the forbidden fruit and disobeyed God. And then the tragedy took place. Instead of man and God being friends together, there came a barrier between man and God. It was the barrier of sin and rebellion. A man was separated from God. But that's not the end of the great tragedy. A little baby was born. It had good vision, a good little brain. Its hands were normal. The feet were normal. It was a lovely baby. But born right into that little baby, there was the poison of sin. And that sin that Adam brought into the world was passed on from one generation to another. So that when I was born, when the choir was born, when every single one of us was born, we were born with this power and potential to sin. And that is why man and God are separated. And you know, there is a verse in the Bible that sometimes frightens me, and it says this: your iniquities and your sins have separated you between you and your God. And your sins, meaning your transgressions, your wrongdoings, have hid his face from you that he will not hear. There is a barrier in one country that we all dislike. It's called the Berlin Wall. And it separates one country into two. And that wall divides a society. But there's a greater tragedy. There is a wall called sin that divides man from God. And that is why so many boys and girls, men and women, say something like this: I know God is there, but I can't understand him. I know prayer is all right, but I can't pray. I know the Bible is a good book, but I can't understand it. Why? Because man is separated from God, and he is in the dark. These German miners were brave men. And some of them started to scratch through rock with their hands. And I want you to imagine them, if you can, trying to scratch through rock, trying to get to the light through their own efforts. And they worked for 24 hours so that when they were eventually found, and I hope this doesn't make you afraid, some of the skin had been rubbed off their hands, and their hands were skinless. And they got to a point when, although they were wet and cold, some of them, those that were trying to scratch through the rock were perspiring, and they fell down exhausted, and they knew that they couldn't get to the light. They were absolutely defeated. Lots of people imagine that they can get to God by good works. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's a good thing for a boy or a girl or a man or a woman to live a good life. But could I say this to you clearly? Good works will never remove the sin barrier. Good works will never make us right with God. The Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Up top, the tragedy took place. There was a funeral in a Lutheran church where thousands of people assembled. And a service was officiated for a number of people, and 40 men were still alive. Think of that. Believed dead, but still alive. I wonder if I can do this with my hands. The children will understand. The parents, I'm sure, will appreciate this too. Man is not physically dead. He can move his body. He is not emotionally dead. We can all have the power to love. But man is spiritually dead. The communication between God and man has been broken because of sin. And that's why we're in an awful condition. Two men were released, not actually from this part of the mine, from another part, and they let the news out to the world that there might be 40 men still alive. They knew that if these men were alive, they would be actually sheltering on this particular rock. So they hired a brilliant German engineer, and he was shown a map of the mine, and he was shown this place where there was this elevated rock. And after some very meticulous, that means very careful calculations, a mine was sunk. And now I want you to put your place in the place of those miners. They were waiting to die. Some actually were just prepared to just topple in the water. When all of a sudden, over their heads, they hear a rumbling. And then a drill pierces the ceiling of the mine, and it's removed. And those men saw light. And when they saw light, they just wept and wept and wept. They knew that light was a symbol of life. I've never told this story in Australia, but I'm going to tell it now, perhaps never again. My father was a pantheist. He wasn't a Christian. And he took me, because he was interested in orator, to hear a well-known preacher just for preaching sake. And I sat near a red tent pole just in the middle of the tent. And I shall never forget this. When I was in that tent, I heard a man speaking to us in plain language, telling us that we were sinners. And I knew that I had sinned. He told us that God was holy and he couldn't abide sin at any price. That was rather new to me. And then that faithful preacher told us that if we die in our sins, we're lost. That was new to me. Never heard that before. And then he told us this wonderful fact. that God loved the world and through his Son we could be saved. And all I can say is this. Just like the teacher puts a sum on the board and you cannot understand it and it's all dark, and then suddenly in the back of your mind you say, oh, I see it. Light comes about that sum. I got light about Jesus. I wonder, could I ask a question? I hope now that someone will get real light about the Lord Jesus, why he came into the world. And then they dropped a red telephone and someone picked it up, and this is what they heard. Hold on, men. Don't give up. We're going to send down a Savior. And then it was repeated. Hold on, men. Don't give up. We're going to send down a Savior. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the story of the Old Testament. When man sinned and rebelled against God and broke his laws and was under the judgment of God, God in all his love was telling us in the Old Testament that he was going to send a Savior. But of course they needed a Savior. They needed a doctor. They needed a doctor strong enough to save 40 people. They needed a doctor who was willing to give his life for 40 people. And this was the irony of the story. Whilst 40 men were actually in jeopardy, one or two dying, it took them 24 hours to find a Savior. Then a doctor came forward that was 14 and a half stone in weight, an ex-rugby player, a brilliant surgeon at the age of 38 with three children. And he volunteered to go down. And the whole world saw it. Perhaps some of you can remember. There came that dramatic moment when he said goodbye to his friends and they wished him good luck. Then there came the drama of that moment when he kissed his own children and wife. And then he got into a chair called the chair of elevation, because they believed that it was coming up. And the reporter that was giving the world the news actually said this. Ladies and gentlemen, the Savior is now going down from the light into the darkness. He's going down from life into death. He's gone. And you could hear thousands of people shouting, good luck! And down he went. There came a moment in heaven when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said, I'm going down. And this is how the Bible puts it. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. And there came a moment when Jesus Christ came out of heaven, came into this world in the body of manhood, and came among us men to make us right with God. But Jesus did something that the German Savior could never do. He went to a cross of wood. He allowed wicked men to crucify his hands and feet. He allowed them to make a crown of thorns and to crush it on his blessed head. And when Jesus Christ was uplifted on that cross, if I may paraphrase now divine language for the children's sake, he said something like this. O God, let thy judgment fall, but not on the world, let it fall on me. And God gathered the sin of the world together. Would you mind if I pointed? Your sin, your sin, your sin, your sin. Boys and girls, your sin. And he measured all the judgment and brought it on his Son. And that moment was so tragic and yet so wonderful. God flicked out all the lights of creation so that no one would see Jesus. And Jesus said something that was awful. Do you know what he said? My God, why have you forsaken me? And do you know why? Because he loved us unto death. And when it was all over, when he endured the wrath of God, he said with a loud voice, finished, and bowed his head and died. And at that moment, the Lord Jesus became the great Savior. Then they took him from the cross and they put him in a beautiful new tomb. And God was watching that tomb. And there in that tomb was the body of Jesus. And on the third day, God the Father, God the Spirit, moved into that mighty tomb, and the greatest miracle in the universe took place. God the Father and God the Son raised Jesus from the dead, took him back to heaven, And the Lord Jesus is the great Savior, the one that can make men and women and boys and girls right with God. And he can remove now the sin barrier. Give us forgiveness so that we can be right with God. When the German Savior got down, a tragedy took place. One man wanted to be the first up. And do you know what he did? He trod on three of his companions to be the first and seriously hurt one weak man. And this German Savior, realizing that there was going to be a panic, shouted out, of course I'm going to say it in English what he said in German, "Stop! Halt!" And then he looked stern, and he was. And he said, "I'm not saving one of you until you give me your absolute faith and obedience." And he got into the chair and he pretended to be going back. Of course he wouldn't do it. And when he got their obedience, he went up to one man that was so weak that he couldn't even lift his hands. And he said, "What about you?" He couldn't speak. He just nodded his head. That's all. And that mighty German Savior lifted him up bodily, strapped him to the chair of elevation, and then he shouted up, "Up!" And this is what they saw. They saw a man being lifted from all the darkness into the light. They saw a man being lifted from death right into life. And when he got to the top and the news leaked out that one had been saved, there was a terrific cheer. Saved! And people danced with joy because they knew if one was saved, the 40 could be saved. Do you know, I saw that the other day. A young man in London, only 19, came to me, and he lifted up his arm, and it was pricked all over. He looked as yellow as a man who was in the last stages of the cancer of the liver. He said, "Mr. Brandon, can God do anything for me?" And I said to him very simply, "If you just want God to get you off drugs, no. But if you are prepared to really repent of all your sins and put your faith and trust in Christ, he'll lift you." That young man, beaten, bruised and baffled by sin, knelt down and just trusted Christ. And in the realm that's spiritual, I could see that God had lifted him from sin, from death, from darkness, right into the light of God's presence, and he was saved. And now I want to ask the question and then close. Are there people here tonight that need that salvation? Are there those here tonight that really feel that the Lord is near them, speaking to them? Then right now, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Word of God says this, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Lord help someone to trust him now.